Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Cosmopolitans All The Way With. I'm Laura Capon.
And I'm Paisley Gilmore. And this week we're joined by Calla Knitt, who is a relationship therapist and expert in compatibility.
Do you notice that I left you to do that? Because I don't know if I can say compatibility.
Every time.
It goes into combat ability, which two different things. I'm really excited about this episode.
Me too. I love this chat.
Before we get into Calla Knitt, I wanted to talk about your friendship groups, not just yours, but ours. Do you have like different groups of friends, like single friends, coupled up friends, or all your friends single, all your friends like you?
Great question. I don't have loads of friends, if I'm honest. I believe in...
Great.
I have like a few, but really good quality friends as opposed to big groups. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe you should share your thoughts first because I need to gather mine.
Don't worry. I love to go first.
Yeah.
So basically, I was talking with my more like coupled up friends. And it's really hard sometimes for like those conversations not to leave you feeling shit as a single person, because obviously naturally they revolve around like houses and babies and partners. And I just feel like I have nothing to say in them. And I literally sit there and I'm dreading waiting for it to come to me. You know, you're just dreading it. It's like, just pretend I'm not here. Just let me blend in. Because I just never know what to say. And then it makes me so grateful for my single friends, because I feel like I never feel like that with them. And we can talk about anything but with my other friends, I really struggle. I'm like, what else could I talk about if it's not a major milestone?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like that?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I was going to say to you, like, do you not, with the coupled up, moving in a certain direction friends, do you never talk about, like, I don't know, a film you've watched, a thing you've read, or do all those conversations seem to kind of be around their life?
I think I'd feel really pathetic if they're just like, yeah, so we're just like picking kitchen tiles. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I just watched Forensic Files. How about you? Do you know what I mean? It just...
Yeah, but you'd say that to your single friends.
Yeah, it makes me feel kind of... And then I feel bad because I think, no, you like... Obviously, this means a lot to them. You should be giving it your full attention and just be happy for them. And it's not that I'm not happy for them, but I just... I find that I don't enjoy that conversation, and then it naturally makes you want to talk to other people more.
No, I honestly, I think this is so true. And in Dolly Alderton's new novel, Ghosts, I mean, this isn't the main point of the story, but it's a lot of it is about her friendship with this old friend. And the old friend is like married, moved out to the suburbs, got two kids. And it's about how she is like the polar opposite to the main character, who's single, dating, and how like them not taking an interest in each other's lives because they're so different impacts their friendships. And that got me thinking about how like it's been really important for me in recent years to make friends with queer people, because like being around couples all the time, I love my friends who are in couples, but like the things that are important to them aren't remotely important to me. Like, I'm not going to follow a path of getting married, having kids, buying a house, because that's not how it works for a lot of queer people. So it's like I've realized the importance of having friends who are like me. Not saying we can only exist in an echo chamber, but I think, like you say, it's important to have all types of friends.
Yeah. And I never thought of it from your point of view in that sense of, yeah, if you've just got loads of boring straight friends, straight couple friends. Oh.
I didn't say it. She said it.
Snooze fest. But yeah, I agree. That's, I am conscious that you don't want to be in an echo chamber. And because also your single friends might not stay single forever. But yeah. I'm just really grateful for them. I guess it's that thing of having friends that reflect your stage of life as well as friends that are, I don't want to say ahead, but at a different stage of life.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Yeah, definitely.
I'm glad it's not just me though, because yeah, honestly, it just, you just feel rubbish afterwards. And then I think, I bet they don't think anything of it, but the whole time I just think, oh God. And then like for the next time, I'm trying to plan something, plan an update, but we're in lockdown. <There's>, nothing's going to happen.
No. Although I was saying to my friend the other day, we were talking about, she's just got married and like half of us are single, half of us are married in our friendship group. And she was saying like, I do get a bit bored, you guys just talking about dating all the time and the dates you've been on. She was like, it just feels like we're having the same conversation and we're like interesting, smart women. We've got so much more to say than just about our love lives. And I was like, do you know what? It's so true. And in the recent weeks, we've talked more about like books and politics and stuff. And I'm like, we can very easily like prioritize chat about relationships, whether that's single or not. But like our friendship should be so much more than that, right?
Yeah. And also the other way, like I'm really conscious in my close circle of friends, only one of them has a baby. And I'm so conscious that not to alienate her either. Like there's things she must, you know, like she either would like to talk about it or just, you know, it's, so I guess it's also being aware of how other people feel as well, like on the flip side of that, like how she must hate it if we sit there talking about, yeah, I woke up at like 12 today.
Yeah, she must be like, fuck you guys. Yeah, I mean, this is what Dolly talks about in her book a lot. She said sometimes those friendships where you're in different stages of life, like you rub up against each other because you almost see the other person's lifestyle choice as a rejection of your own, like, because they're out having fun and dating and being single. If you're the one who's married with a kid, you might feel like, oh, well, they think they're above me and they're having much more fun. And then the other way around, the single person might be like, oh, they don't see my experiences as valid because I don't have like a proper relationship and stuff. So everyone's feeling left out, I guess, but just not
saying
it. Yeah.
Communication. Hey, what have we learned?
It's important in friendships too.
Friendships are like seasons.
Yeah.
That's just it. That's just a quote.
Is that it? How are they like seasons, mate?
They change.
Oh, okay. That they was go it. Cold and hot. Okay.
This is why I'm not the person we're going to be interviewing on compatibility. Oh, God, this is going to be hard, isn't it?
Look away now, anyone who can't cope with mispronunciation.
Okay, let's try this.
We're joined today by Dr. Kalanit Ben-Ari, a psychologist specialising in relationships with more than 20 years' experience of working with couples. And she's here to teach us about romantic compatibility and what it really means. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming. This is something Laura and I are quite obsessed with talking about. So we're going to be quite nerdy and keen.
Oh, I'm looking forward.
Yay. So what is compatibility? Like, why is everyone so obsessed with it?
I think that for each person, it will be something different. And sometimes in our culture, when couples have the first conflict, they think that maybe they are not in the right fit and maybe they need to replace the partners. So I think it means many things to different people, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And do you think, I mean, I always say like we're kind of sold a lot of lies about it through like pop culture and romantic comedies. Do you think that's the case? And do you think people learn what they think it is from those things?
Yes, definitely. It's a false stories that we are talking about and watching. And if it's songs or movies or poets from since we are young girls and boys about relationship, about how it looks like. Social media doesn't add to that, where people put only photos of a beautiful self. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we have many expectations with from potential partners, and that's okay, but we need to be realistic. And no one is perfect, and we are not perfect as well. Maybe you guys, I'm not.
Oh, no, we are, definitely. Yeah, we're close.
But I usually tell people, think about four or five non-negotiable values, core values that you are looking in your potential partner. And then also we want to add some level of attractions that will be there. So for me, this is the place that I guide people to start to look at about what are the core values and start from there.
I feel like four or five is quite high, or is that just me?
What do you not have five? God, Laura!
Some of the values you might not think about as a value, but it's important. For example, if you want children or not.
If you want, sorry, children?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Okay. So for example, about gender roles. Do you want to develop your career, or do you prefer the old version of gender roles where your partner will provide and you will be at home? So there are many core values that are not spoken as and then it's come across as expectations.
Oh, okay.
That it's not clear to us. So it's not only values about family or about spare time or about religious. For some people, it's more important than others. But also the basic. And sometimes we hear something at the first date, and then we say, oh, they will change their minds. But if someone says, I don't want children, it's less likely that they will change their minds. Or if someone says, I don't see myself ever, ever living outside of London, and you are a countryside person, it might be a clash.
So should you... Say you're single and you're looking for like a long-term relationship, mm-hmm. and compatibility is something you want. Should you sit down with yourself first then and make this list of five values that are kind of deal breakers for you?
Ooh,
definitely.
I like that.
Definitely, because the more you will be focused on it, even energetically, I believe you will attract the right people.
Yeah.
Can we just go over more of the... I'm quite enjoying this. So whether you want children... where you'd like to live, what are some other
for
like,
many
key
people
ones?
It will be different. For one person it won't be important where they are living or what is the religious. For yeah. others it will be something very, very significant. Children, I think it's important one, because you know, if you hear from a partner, and it can be a woman or a male, it's not only the males, but some women don't want children, and then you think, no, she will grow into it, we will have a relationship, she will change her mind. It's less likely to happen.
Yeah. And what kinds of other values do people often want to have in common? I guess, yeah, through the couples you see and work with, what's like a common compatibility that's
yes, I think that
success?
The gender roles at home are important. I think that also attitude around spare time, if you are outdoors, if you think to do things by yourself, if you are more family oriented, family values are important. Another piece, it's about self-development. If you're really interested and invested in self-development and your partner doesn't feel that this is important or is something that's attractive for them, so you can see clashes there as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you've been together from a younger age, and surely people's kind of values change, or will those core values stay the same?
I think that we are a complicated human being, and we are changing and we are involved in all the time. And the basic that it's important, in my opinion, if we are speaking about values, it's about friendships, it's about honesty, it's about open communication, it's about growing together and supporting each other as individuals, but as couples as well. And as long as you have that kind of curiosity and respect not only for the similarities, but also for the differences, and curiosity about that, you will grow together. And it may be that you are in a long-term relationship since a young age, but maybe not. But still, you need that as a baseline.
Yeah.
You need to create the atmosphere that whenever problems will arise, the atmosphere will be right for you to talk about that, if that makes sense.
Communication.
Yeah. Yes.
We love that one. So it's okay to be different as long as you like give each other the respect and space to be different and explore your differences.
Definitely there will be places that we are different. We don't need to be similar in everything. So even with hobbies.
I think people assume they have to be like the same kinds of people, but is that just nonsense?
It's yes and no.
Okay.
On some levels, we need some similarities. For example, the values. Okay. Or with spare time, we would like to have something in similar. So it's not that whenever we have time, especially with family, when it's more busy, whenever we have time, we are doing our own things. And but own things, it's also important. So you want to find the balance in between. But you always have something that is different. Even if we look at magnets, positive and positive will clash. You are attracted, positive is attracted to negative.
Yeah.
And there are conscious level and there are unconscious level. So if you want, we can go to the unconscious level. But in the unconscious level, you also see similarities and differences that we can predict and can understand.
What is the unconscious level?
Unconscious level is that you're falling in love unconsciously by people who hold some of the characters, positive and negative, more emphasis on the negative of the people that raised you. And the similarity will be, unconsciously, the similarity will be that you hold you and your partner the same, we call it wound, but it's not wound because you were growing up in a traumatic environment, because there was some longing at some stage in your childhood that was not met. Some longing for connection of some unmet needs. And what we see with couples that we come and we feel attractions to partners unconsciously, that they felt that they experienced the same wound, they have the same longing. So there is a similarity there. But what we can see is that their way to defend against that a longing was opposite than ours. So for example, if for one as a child and therefore as an adult in a different form, when they experience pain, or maybe there is a new baby at home, or maybe parents are in conflict themselves, something happens in the family. So for them to deal with the pain or frustration, it will be maybe shutting down or close the door or cry by themselves or go to the fantasy world or distract themselves. For adults, it will be going to the screen, going outside for friends, going to drink or to smoke, you know. But withdrawing from the relationship. For others, they use their energy differently. They may be cling, or they may be cried for longer or harder. And as adults, they will be maybe more aggressive or raise their voices or chase the other one and want to speak about the issue right now. So it's two different defensive mechanisms. And we are tend to fall in love with the other one, not in the one that is similar to us.
And that causes a lot of problems, doesn't it?
Yes, so this is how I tell you there is similarity in the wound. For example, if both of you felt in your family that you are not heard.
So
one of you will feel that you need to speak a lot because you don't feel heard, and the other one will shut down. But the core will be similar. The core pain will be similar. The longing to be heard will be similar. If that makes sense.
Yeah, so I like crying alone, and I'm unlikely to fall in love with someone that likes crying in front of everyone.
Not necessarily crying, but he would like to speak about it.
Okay, right.
With you when you'd want to be alone.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, leave me alone.
Exactly. Leave me
alone. I've got my playlist.
So is it, if you are with a person who kind of behaves the opposite to you in that way, can you still make it work, or are you just inherently not compatible and you won't get on?
No, definitely. I think the whole idea of unconscious falling in love, this is the nature way of telling you the part of you needs to grow, part of you needs to develop, and your partner is there as a great mentor, as a mirror of what needs to be developed for you. So I see that more as opportunity for growth, for self-reflection, to understand something about yourself and to grow yourself back to your own wholeness.
Can you work on that stuff together on your own, or is that something that you kind of have to go and see a therapist or a couples counselor for, to kind of negotiate that?
First of all, I'm not sure I'm fond of the word negotiation, because negotiation in a relationship doesn't work. And we say the soul doesn't need the negotiation. There is something more than that. There is more growth and healings to happen. You can start by yourself. And if you are a curious person, and you can start by reading some books, Getting the Love That You Want. It's a great book to start with. It's an Imago approach. So you can start the process by yourself, definitely. You can come for a weekend's educational workshop for couples to start the process as well. Not necessarily therapy.
I know you said earlier about the magnet example. So obviously we've all heard the saying opposites attract. Is that true? Like, can an extrovert and an introvert work really well as a couple, or kind of in your experience, what do you think?
I think, again, depends on which topic we are talking about. If one of you is very outspoken, two, the same will be feel quite crowded. So one will be a little bit more quiet, maybe socially, the other one will be a little bit more outspoken, and that's okay. You are working, you can work as a team.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And you can also learn from each other. Maybe at work you will need to step up a little bit, and then you can learn from your partner or the other way around. On some areas, if it's related to the core values, it might be on the way of being in a healthy and successful relationship. Mm-hmm.
So it's really identifying what means, I guess, what your non, I know you don't like the word negotiable, but what your non-negotiables are.
Yes, exactly. What is the values that are really important for you? Yes.
And can we talk about sexual compatibility and whether that is that yes. a thing? What do you think about the term, and is it important?
I think that some level of attraction needs to be there, because if not, we are roommates. Managing life, but there is no intimacy. And intimacy, it's important on so many levels in a long-term relationship. And it's in many times, it's the glue of the relationship. Mm-hmm. But some will have attraction straight away, and some people will develop attraction with time. Yeah. For example, I know people or women that didn't want to date someone who is not tall or not taller than them. And then they gave it a chance, and then they fall in love, and attraction follows the personality of knowing the other person. So it's different for different people, but my personal opinion, we need to have some level of attractions between couples.
Mm-hmm. And I guess when I say sexual compatibility, I mean, like, do you have to want the same kind of sex? Do you have to have matching sex drives? Do you have to, like, for it to work?
At the start of the relationship, anyway, you don't have a clear understanding of that, because of different hormones in your brain. You experience each other differently. So even if you have, generally speaking, low libido, on the honeymoon stage, you will express higher behaviors. Yeah. So it's difficult to say at the start of the relationship. And also there are different stages in the relationship. After a given birth, the woman will be more towards the baby than maybe interested about sex if she's breastfeeding and things like that. So there are different stages with different ways. But I think that it's important that you have a conversation with your partner, that it's easy to talk about it or about anything, not about only about sex, but that your pleasure, it's important for your partner.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So you can talk about what you, there is, on the one hand, there is the skills and there is the attractions. And if there is no attractions whatsoever, it will be maybe challenging. But if there is attractions and it's only a matter of skills, and your partner and you can develop and learn and grow together, so that's beautiful.
It's all we can hope and dream for.
But I think the idea is that you want to feel that your partner wants to invest in your pleasure. There is some space to grow your intimacy together.
Okay.
How do you figure out if you're compatible with someone in the sense of, also I did that compatible with someone, because I obviously understand those core values, but you know, if you're just getting to know someone, you don't necessarily want to ask those things straight away. Is there any like observations you can look out for, any other kind of signs?
Yes, definitely. I think starting conversations, you can start a meaningful conversation in many ways, but maybe if it's a first or second date, you won't do it directly. But if you're watching a movie, you're speaking about the characters in the movies and their narratives. If you are sitting in the restaurant, not now with the COVID, but post-COVID, and they see something that happens in the next table and they comment about that, you can maybe open up conversations about that. You can speak about friends or family member, and you can just start to trigger those conversations about the values that are important to you without saying, the first date, I want children, how many do you want?
Yeah, watch something like Boss Baby. Cheaper by the dozen. Oh, do you want 12 children? I'm just wondering, it's just a film.
But sometimes by comments that people are making about others, you learn so much if you are listening carefully and with curiosity. So you can open many, you know, you're reading a book, you can share it with your partner and then starting to talk about their characters.
I love that.
We bring our own narratives when we are speaking about others.
It's like you're on a date, but you're also on a secret mission. I'm into it.
I'm not sure I will support that.
Also, Paisley wrote this question, but I'm desperate to know, what's the difference between romantic compatibility and platonic compatibility? Because this always happens to me, that I feel like I really get on well with someone and that we are compatible in so many ways, but then they don't see me in a romantic sense. Where am I going wrong?
No, Laura. I hate it when she says that. I don't believe she's ever been in the wrong, so...
So maybe I will phrase it how I can learn from that, or what I need to learn, or how I need to grow from that. Laura, before I answer that question, I want to say another piece about your previous questions about how figuring out and what to figure out in the first date. It's also related to the stage that you are in. If you are young, 20 years old, you are not really in a hurry to figure out how many children your partner wants and if at all. But if you are on your early 40s, you don't also want to waste your time. So it might be also related. Okay, I will go to your question. So I'm hearing that you are with relationship and sometimes it feels like at the end they feel that it's more suitable to be friends.
I'm without a relationship. But when I kind of, there's a few people that I've liked and got very close to, and I thought we were heading that way. But then they're like, oh, you're just a really great mate.
First of all, it might be a good sign for the start. Some relationships that I know, many of them actually started with a good friendship, very, very close friendship. So I would go with possibilities and I won't see it as a closing the door for potential of something else. Many great relationships started with a good, good foundation of friendships.
Okay. So I could break that door down. Great.
Wear them down, Elsie.
Wear them down.
Gently opening the door.
But what if that door's locked and they threw away the key?
I think that you want maybe to be with someone that appreciates you and feel attraction if you are talking about attraction. I think that you deserve it. So I don't want to start to ask too many personal questions about the situations and about you.
Laura's trying to get a free therapy session while we record a podcast.
Sorry.
Classic.
Maybe we can do another one and then you decide if you want to use it or not. But I think you can be curious about that. And if it's a good friend, you can be curious with those questions with them or also with yourself about what's going on here and just to start observing what's coming to your mind when you open out questions, just to open it up. Just be curious about that.
Okay, thank you.
But, you know, you said attraction can grow, so you don't necessarily need to feel like an instant attraction to someone. How long should you kind of give it? Because basically, I've been watching Married at First Sight, and a lot of the couples are like, I'm just not attracted to her. And I think, well, give it a bit of time, but also you don't want to give it like 3 months and, you know, almost waste someone's time when you're not sure if it's friendship or more kind of thing.
Yes, but I think there is an issue with our culture, with all the social media. We are very, very easy and quick to judge.
Agreed.
And if we are serious about finding a partner for life, we need to give it a good possibilities in time and space, not with all those measurements in our head, and just to be, just to be with them, just to be, just to experience without the judgment, because we have what it's called negative bias, and we will see the negative and we'll find the negative, and the older we become, and if we're still single, we'll see more negative than the positive. So it's really being in the present and just experiencing and having more fun, and let that feeling lead you.
It's so interesting because isn't it? All my single friends who are using dating apps at the moment, like they really want to find a partner, and rightly so, they have a lot of deal breakers or things that are important to them, but they'll come back from a date and be like, oh, he was great in every way, but he's a vegan and I could never date a vegan. And I'll think, as if you're throwing away a potential relationship with someone great just for something that seems to me so nonsensical. So like on one hand, it's really good that we know our worth and we know what we want. But on the other hand, maybe we give too much value to like silly, innocuous traits. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that our culture also very individualism. And we don't see the space between and what does it mean. And relationship, successful relationship requires flexibility.
Yeah.
Flexibility in the mind, in the behaviors, in the way that we see things, understand things, react to things. And if being vegan, it's one of your 4 non-negotiable values, so okay. But if it's not one of the 4, so you will have differences. The important is how you're going to communicate about that.
Yeah.
Is there enough in love and compassion and curiosity and respect to speak about our differences? How we can learn from each other? Bring me to your world. Why it's important for you to be vegan? Let me understand it from your perspective. And I will tell you what is... From my perspective, if someone says something is so scary for them, so they don't want to go on, I'm asking, what is the fear here? What is the danger? Because usually there is not much danger. It's the stories that we tell ourselves about that.
I see.
Could you have great compatibility with someone but still not make a great couple?
I think that if you don't have that level of attractions or physical intimacy, so that important piece that might be missing, and then we call it emotional divorced a couple, because they might be living together, managing house, finance, children, but there is no intimacy between them. And I say intimacy not only in the sexual aspect, but also there is no, I'm not sharing with you really my deepest thought or my deepest dreams or my deepest fears. I'm more managing by myself, not in a way of a couple. So this piece, I think, will be missing if in a relationship.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
Doesn't have to be like
No, you're very true. I know we kind of touched on this, but would you say there's any issues that you have to be compatible on aside from the children argument?
No, I think it's about your core values. I will take it there, but also there is the personal one, which is the values, and there is the general one. And the general one, it's more about the character. If you feel your partner, potential partner, is very aggressive or passive aggressive, they are not talking, but you are afraid to talk. If you feel that you are intimidated by raising a conversation or talking about something, if you feel that they are not curious or open to discuss issues, maybe if it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it is that you want to speak, then you see that they are not taking responsibility or not opening up to see what they can do different. So I think all of those are red flags that I will say about finding a good fit for a long-term relationship.
And do you think people can change? Because I know you said about the children argument. If someone says they don't want children, you know, trust them on that, they're unlikely to change. But can people really change their core values, or will they kind of, is it better to just kind of end things?
I think that the people change. If we won't change, we will die. We change and we evolve. Mm. But at the start of the relationship, we bring our best self.
Mm.
Okay, yeah.
So if it's my best self at the start of the relationship, I don't want to come to your family dinners because it's not something that I value. And you value and you want to go Saturday and Sunday to family events, it's less likely to change in a long-term relationship because at the start of the relationship, we bring our best self, we bring our most effort. So some people change, but you need the start of the relationship, respect what you are hearing, knowing that you are not going to change it. If the change will happen, it will be their responsibility, their size, but you are going to have a relationship with how you understand them at this point.
That's so true. You make the most effort at the beginning, and if you can't be bothered then, you're not going to be bothered when you've been together like 3 years.
That. Well, I don't like it, but it's an important thing to remember, isn't it?
It makes it more simple, doesn't it, to like understand?
Yes. It's like me and my friends always say, if you're dating someone and at the start they're not obsessed with you, then we're not interested. We're always like, they've got to be obsessed with me, otherwise I'm not interested.
Oh, I'm not sure I will agree with that.
Yes, you do. It's very professional advice.
But even with children, I know couples that they share the value at the start of the relationship that they didn't want children. And when they become 42 or 33, they change that and they try everything that they can with IVF and to have children. So people might change, but you cannot start a relationship on the assumptions that they will change their mind on something that it's your core value, because it probably will be in the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you say, okay, I'm not sure if I want children, you know, or maybe I'm divorced and I have children, so I don't feel the need and my partner don't want, so it's a good foundation to start.
Okay, great. Do you think there's anything else that like people should know if they are looking for a compatible partner right now?
I will look about the process and about how you are relating to each other. So when you see or your partner sees that you are in pain or they are in pain, how you approaching the not so nice and high moments of the relationship. So then we want to see that we have someone that we can grow together.
Yeah.
That we have respect, that we can say our own truth or say what is on our heart in a safe way for them to hear, yes? Not with blaming and shaming them. But they are engaged in that. So I think that the communication and that you are involving together, it's important.
And someone that's going to be sort of there for you when there isn't really kind of any advantage to them. I see what you mean, like if it's they're actually putting themselves out for you.
Exactly. Not someone that will make you small or make you look at you down, or you want to feel empowered and you want to empower them. And whenever there is a conflict, you learn the skills, and it's skills in many cases, you learn the skill how to repair and how to connect again and how to grow together as a couple.
We did an episode on love languages. Do you think that can help as well, like knowing your love language and discussing that with each other?
Yeah, yes, I love that approach and it's beautiful. And the more you know about your partner and what love means to them and you speak their own language, you are a feeling the tanks of love.
Mm.
And when we have a better atmosphere, when the atmosphere in between the couple, the space between is filled with love and kindness and compassion in the way that the partner understand it, the better it will be to communicate on the things that we don't agree on.
Oh, Dr. Kalina, I feel like you have filled me with love this afternoon.
Oh!
My honor, my pleasure.
Thank you so much. If people want to find you, not in a creepy way, but to look up your work or contact you, how do they do that?
Yes. So my Instagram, it's Dr. Kalanit, K-A-L-A-N-I-T. My website, it's kalanitbenari.com. Yes, and I would like to hear from you. Come to Weekends for Couples, educational weekends. It's lovely.
I just need to get, I'll get another half and then I'll book on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome. A pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
I love the idea of people who are looking for romance, like writing their little list and going out and like just finding that. I don't know. I just feel like that's so proactive.
I want to write. Do you know what we should do, right? What? We should write our little lists and then yeah. our next, friend, the next them. Intro, we read them out.
Oh my God. Yeah. I bet we'll have things the same.
Oh my God. Are we getting really like 14-year-old sleepover?
Yeah. Oh my God. And then we'll share our lists.
I do think, because when she said 4 or 5, it's not that I'm desperate. I mean, I'm desperate, but I don't know. I thought, but when she kind of broke them down, it made more sense to mm-hmm. me. Because I always just think of like children and maybe religion.
Yeah. And what about where you want to live?
I hadn't even thought of that, to be honest. Because I guess it depends where you meet them.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm more open. Maybe that's not a...
Oh, yeah, it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go away and do that. It's our homework. And then we can discuss them next week.
Great.
Stunning.
Can't wait.
All right.
This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to Callanit for joining us and to you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.